This is North Place Church, Durban. We hope as you listen today that you experience Christ, community, and compassion. To learn more about us, go to our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
This morning, we're going to be looking at something that every single one of us have experienced in our life when it comes to fear. My wife and I, we met in 2006 at Bible College, Southwestern Assemblies of God University. And when we met, I knew the moment I saw her, I looked into her eyes. If you've seen DOS, you've seen those eyes, okay? That's Sarah's eyes. They're beautiful. And I looked into those eyes and I was like, I'm going to marry her. I know it. I'm marrying that girl. Well, little did I know, at that time, she actually had a boyfriend. And they had been together for like 4 years. Well, they ended up breaking up. Aw. And so I swooped in. I was like, all right, whew, here's the chance. So I swooped in, and about a week after they had broken up, Sarah and I started talking. Do you guys, you don't call it. It's like, you know, when you are going to date that person, like you know, but you're not boyfriend, girlfriend yet. So you're talking, right? So we were talking. Kind of means you're officially, unofficially official. I don't know. So we started talking, and we had been doing that for about a week, and we went to eat dinner one night. I say dinner, it was fast food. We didn't have any money. We were poor college students. And we went to eat, and we came back to our dorm, and I remember we pulled back in front of our dorm, and I was like, this is my chance. Here we go. And so I was like, all right, girl, well, you know, I'll see you later. Acting all cool and stuff. I mean, I had the Justin Bieber hair. So I'd swoop it back. I was like, all right, well, you know, that was fun. It was cool. She's like, okay, I'll see you later, you know. And I leaned over to go in for the kiss. I was like, this is it. I mean, she's been broken up with her boyfriend for a week. Totally fine. So I leaned in, about to get the kiss goodnight. And she turned and gave me her cheek. Wow. And I was like, what just happened? Because I hadn't really experienced rejection like that up until that point. I was a bit of a player growing up a little bit. And so, unfortunately, and I looked at her and I was like, this look of like, what'd you just do? And she goes, you realize like a week ago, I was kissing my ex-boyfriend. And I was like, okay, I'll see you later. And so, got out, went to my dorm. And in that moment of rejection, I had a choice. Either I could continue to pursue her because I thought she's going to be my wife, or I could go hopeless and have despair and be like, nope, I'm done. I'm through with this. Not doing it anymore. Obviously, I continued to pursue her, and now we've been married 10 years and have 3 beautiful kids and all of those things. See, every single one of us in this room, we experience rejection in one way or another throughout life. It may be small things like, you know, when you were in grade 6, grade 7. I probably just described most of your grade 6 and grade 7. Sorry, guys. Being rejected by girls, girls being rejected by guys. Maybe it was a small thing like that. Or maybe rejection comes in the form of something bigger. Rejection that sits deep inside of our heart and it imprints things on us that then shape our future. When I was 7 years old, my dad said, I'm done, and he walked out. It was just me and my mom from then on out. Rejection. Maybe you've been rejected from social circles, like in the video that we have where you try to get in and you want to fit in so bad because we all want to be accepted, but people push us away. Rejection happens to every single one of us in our life in some way or another. And we can allow rejection to birth fear inside of us, or we can respond in a way that brings glory to God. And so this morning, what we're going to look at is our response to rejection. Our response to rejection. All throughout Scripture, there's people that experience rejection in their life. All throughout the Bible. Specifically this morning, we're going to look at the story of Joseph found in the book of Genesis. How many of you know the story of Joseph? You've heard it growing up? Raise your hand. Come on. All right, cool, cool. So you know a little bit, but we're going to go through this story today and the story of Joseph. See, The story of Joseph, most of the time, I grew up thinking of Joseph and thinking of the what? Yes, the coat of many colors, right? Joseph was the favorite. His dad gave him a coat. End of the story. But really, Joseph experienced rejection so many times throughout his life. His story is found in the book of Genesis between chapter 37 and chapter 50. We're going to read all 13 chapters today. I'm kidding. Come on, guys. You can laugh. It's okay. So just to give you a little bit of background, okay? So when you read the book of Genesis, you have the patriarchs. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are known as the patriarchs, and Abraham specifically as the father, really, of Israel. And you get to Jacob, and Jacob has 12 sons. Those 12 sons are what we call and what we know in the Old Testament as the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And so you have this story that happens in Genesis chapter 37 where we are introduced to a young man named Joseph. He's a 17-year-old boy, and he has a great relationship with his dad. He's literally the favorite kid of the family. Now, let's be honest. If you have multiple kids, we all have a favorite, right? I mean, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Y'all are like, you have a favorite child? No. I love them all equally. They're all awesome. We joke about that, but literally for Jacob, he had a favorite, and it was Joseph. And he made it known. That's where the coat of many colors came in. It was more like a cloak. It was like something that you would wear that was really long that would signify that really he was taking the rights of the firstborn child, even though he wasn't the firstborn. And so Jacob creates a little bit of jealousy within his family when he shows, you know what, Joseph, you are my favorite. Naturally, the other brothers that he had, his 11 other brothers, they hated him. They were jealous of their brother Joseph. Not only did his dad give him this coat to show that he was the favorite, but also Joseph didn't help the matter. Joseph, when you read the story in Genesis 37, he has multiple dreams. And in these dreams, he goes to his brothers and he says, hey, by the way, someday you're going to bow down to me. And they're like, who is this guy? Are you serious? And so the Bible says that his brothers, literally, they hated him. They could not say anything kind to Joseph. Joseph was the 17-year-old boy, and he was daddy's favorite. But you know what? Joseph didn't help the situation. Because Joseph would go, and he would watch his brothers. He'd spy on them, and he'd see what they were doing bad. And then he would go back, and he'd tell his dad. Dad, you know what I saw my brother doing? You know what Levi was doing today? You should have been there, Dad. Joseph would go and he would tell on his brothers and what they are doing. In Genesis 37, you see this story of how Jacob sends his boys out into the field to go watch the sheep, right? And so when he sends them out into the field, Joseph stays behind. And then Jacob comes to Joseph and he says, hey, listen, I want you to go check on your brothers and give me a report and tell me how it's going. They're supposed to be watching our sheep. Go see how it's going. Come back and tell me what's going on. And so the Bible says that his brothers see Joseph coming from afar off. And when they see him coming, man, the hatred is boiling up inside of them. They're like, man, we have to get rid of this dude. This is Dad's favorite. He's always spying on us and telling on us. Man, we have got to get rid of this guy because he's making our life hard. And so the Bible says they come up with this story where they're basically going to say, oh, Dad, he died. It's cool. And then one of the brothers steps in and says, no, let's not do that. Let's not kill him, but let's do a little bit of something else. Let's do something different. And so they end up selling Joseph into slavery and taken to Egypt to be sold as a slave. See, their jealousy drove them to rejection. See, rejection can stem from our own lack of wisdom in relating to other people or from other people's dysfunction in their life. For Joseph, it was a little bit of both, right? It wasn't very wise for him to go to his brothers and say, hey, I had a dream, and you're going to worship me someday. That wasn't very wise, was it? But then at the same time, he came from this dysfunctional family where his dad constantly lifted him up on a pedestal and showed, you are the favorite, better than all these other brothers of yours. Maybe when you've experienced rejection in life, sometimes you ask, why me? Sometimes it could be you, the wisdom or lack thereof that we use in life, or it could be just other people, or it could be a combination of both. It wasn't my fault that at 7 years old, my dad decided to say, deuces, I'll see you guys later. I want to be selfish and live for me and not be an unselfish man and take care of you the way that I'm supposed to. Rejection can stem from our own lack of wisdom, or it could also stem from the dysfunction of others. And so Joseph is rejected by his brothers, and we're going to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39. Here's what it says in verses 1 through 4. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Potiphar, it's an important name. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. So we have Joseph here, this 17-year-old boy. He's plucked from his home and he is sold into slavery to this man named Potiphar, who's basically a high government official. So in this short amount of time, 17-year-old Joseph, follow me, he goes from this simple life where he's loved by his dad, he's the favorite, he's got it made, right? In a simple rural environment, taking care of sheep, all the way to the place of being sold as a slave in a culture that's very different than his own, the culture of Egypt, where he has no say of what's going on in his life at all. In a short period of time, everything changes. Imagine the adjustments that Joseph had to make in his life simply because of rejection. Physical, emotional, the mental adjustments, all of those things. See, his circumstances of life, they changed very drastically. But here's something that's very true. Rejection may change our circumstances, but it does not have to change our identity. We see with Joseph that even though his circumstances changed, he still found favor with those over him because he was faithful to God. He knew who God was. See, just because we are rejected in our life, it doesn't change who we are. Oftentimes, we want to respond to rejection by trying to change who we are, right? Well, I'll just change who I am. I'll change my character so that I fit into this group, or I'll change this about me. But Romans 8 teaches us what? What we've been talking about all month, that our identity is rooted in Jesus Christ. Our circumstances may change, but our identity doesn't have to change. There's something else that we see in this passage that we just read, and it's something that is very, very amazing, and it's only a few short words that we read, but it's so important. It's that we're never alone. See, God is with us as we face rejection in life. The Bible reveals to us that God was with Joseph during this whole time of his life of rejection. And Joseph probably didn't feel like he was, right? God, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? I mean, I served you. I did what was right. I served my dad. Why is this going on in my life? Why this rejection from the ones that I loved, my family? Why? But God was with him the whole time. See, rejection often comes from loneliness or abandonment. It does. Even the disciples felt rejection. Do you remember that? Even the disciples felt rejected when Jesus was about to leave them. He tells them, listen, guys, it's been good this 3 years, but I'm about to go back to the Father. And they're like, whoa, hold up, man. What do you mean you're about to go back? I thought you were ushering in the kingdom and Israel and all of that, and everything was about to change. Abandonment. But Jesus knew that they needed a helper. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 16. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Please, can you look at the person beside you who looks so beautiful today? Look deep into their eyes. Come on. This is the moment where I got to wake you up. Look into their eyes and say, advocate. Oh, you guys are beautiful. That's awesome. I will give you the advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. Whew. That word advocate, it literally in the Greek, it's the word paraclete. And it means one called to the side of another. It means one that is called to the side of another. Can I tell you, even in the midst of rejection, you may feel alone and you may feel abandoned, but know that God never leaves you. He doesn't. No matter what we come against in life and no matter what we may feel on the inside, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is our advocate. He is the one that is called to the side of us. He walks with us hand in hand through life. And if you are a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God, who was there at the beginning of creation, he lives inside of you. Have you ever thought about that? If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've committed your life to him, God is not out in some universe somewhere. He's not just here on Sunday when we gather at our church, but he lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit has made his home, is what the Bible says, inside of you. See, the Holy Spirit, he helps us navigate rejection. He helps us navigate it. My family and I, we like to do a lot of exploring. I'm a little bit more adventurous. My wife's a little bit more cautious. It's a good balance. We do well. We like to do some exploring. And so I think it was Dwayne and Chanel that had actually told us one day, hey, you guys need to go check out this cool waterfall place. So I don't even remember what it was called. That's it. Paradise Valley. You guys, see, you know. And we went there. It's a beautiful place, and my kids were excited, and you know how you walk down to the waterfall? I mean, like, it's a pretty legit walk, right? I mean, and there it was busy that day, so the rocks walking down to that waterfall, they were really, really slippery, and I was holding little Doss's hand as we walked down to the waterfall. Now, his legs are only, like, this long, right? So when you're 3 years old, when you're trying to walk down to a waterfall, and there's slippery rocks, kind of brings a little bit of challenge, right? So I was holding his hand as we walked down to this waterfall. And Doss went to make a step, and he stepped on this one rock, and it was a little bit slippery, and whoo, his foot slid from underneath him. And man, this look, I looked down, and he had that look on his face. You know that feeling when you think, like, I'm about to die, you know? And you're just like, y'all get that? That's the look he had. It was just like, it's all over, Dad. Life is done. For him at 3 years old, it was gone, right? He thought everything was done in that moment because the rock rejected his foot. But he forgot something very, very important, that his dad was holding his hand the entire time and would not let him fall. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit holds our hand as we navigate through rejection in life. And when you are rejected by people, or you're rejected by your parents, or you're rejected for the job, or rejected from the university, can you understand with me today that the Holy Spirit is walking hand in hand with you? And he won't let you fall. He will yank you up just like I had to do little Doss. He was scared. He thought it was over, but I, as his father, was holding his hand the entire time and wouldn't let him fail. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is there with us, and he is helping us as we navigate through rejection. When your boss ticks you off at work, The Holy Spirit will help you respond with grace. Because it's biblical, right? As followers of Jesus, we don't respond in hatred. We don't respond in anger. We don't respond evil with evil. We don't repay that, but we repay evil with good. Showing Jesus. When you're rejected for the promotion at work, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Or when you lose your job and you're laid off, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will remind you, you know what? It's okay, because God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He reminds us, if you seek first my kingdom, I'll take care of your needs. The Holy Spirit is walking hand in hand with us. Genesis chapter 39, when we read on in the story of Joseph, it says this. It says, from the time that he was put in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Wow. Man, you talk about like a transition of life. I'm rejected by my brothers, sold into slavery, sold to this guy named Potiphar, and then over time, because Joseph served his master faithfully, a master who did not serve Yahweh, the God of Israel, but served all these other gods of Egypt. That's very important. Joseph served him faithfully. See, at this vulnerable time in Joseph's life, he could have easily given in to despair and hopelessness, right? He could have. Instead, he chose to apply himself to serve his master. See, your response to rejection will define you. It'll define your life because you're going to experience rejection. This mumbo jumbo that Christians have this perfect life and everything's good and everything works out perfect, that is hogwash, is what we would say in Texas. It is not the truth of the Word of God. Your response to rejection will define you. You are not defined by rejection, but you're defined by how you respond. Let me give you some examples. Ever heard of a guy named Walt Disney? Anybody ever heard of him? He was fired from a newspaper in 1919 because his editor said that he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. I think that guy was wrong, right? Albert Einstein, he didn't speak until he was 4 years old. He couldn't read until he was 7. And when he was in high school, he was expelled from school because he couldn't grasp what they taught. Albert Einstein. It's our response to rejection. One of my childhood heroes, Michael Jordan. Anybody like Michael Jordan? Basketball is worldwide, man. It's awesome. I've been teaching some of these boys how to play basketball. It's been fun. Keenan, I'll school you again. So, Michael Jordan, he was cut from his high school basketball team, where his head coach told him, you just don't have what it takes, son. That guy was wrong. See, when we are rejected, our response to that rejection defines us. All of these people, there's multiple examples throughout the Bible, there's multiple examples throughout history that we will experience rejection, but it is our response that defines our life. Joseph, in his life, when you read his story, he's constantly promoted because he responds to rejection appropriately. In the story, when you get to Genesis chapter 39, in the midst of him responding appropriately, he's living in the house of Potiphar, in charge of everything. Only thing Potiphar had to worry about was the food that he ate. Joseph's the man. He's taking care of it all. And then temptation comes in the form of Potiphar's wife. See, Potiphar's wife comes into the story, most likely, mind you, a very, very beautiful woman because he's a high government official in Egypt. And so most likely he had a very beautiful wife. And she comes to this young man, Joseph, and says, come on, buddy. Just sleep with me. No one's going to know. It's okay. And multiple times she would try to entice him and seduce Joseph. And multiple times Joseph stood up and said, nope, not doing it. Nope. Whew, it's a good example, guys. Nope, not doing it. Not for me. Because it's only a temporary fix to my life. You're right. No one may find out, but God will know because he sees all things. And something very real and very proven throughout Scripture is that what happens in secret will come out into the open. It will. So Joseph said, nope, not doing it, man. Ah. So numerous times, we don't even know how long. It could have been months. It could have been years. She's, come on, come on, come on. No one will know. And finally, it gets to a point where one day she can't take it anymore. She says, come on, Joseph, right now, me and you, buddy. And he says no. And literally the Bible says that he rips off his cloak. It was like an outer shirt because he ran out of the house because he did not want to sin against God. Forrest wasn't the first one to run. Forrest, run. Run, Joseph, run. Potiphar's wife held Joseph's cloak in her hand and said, you know what then? If you're not going to give me what I want, then I'm going to mess up your life. And so she calls out to the guards and convinces her husband Potiphar that Joseph attempted to rape her. She says, look, I have his cloak right here. He tried to rape me. Potiphar believes the story and he throws Joseph into prison. Maybe you've read that story, and a lot of times we can see that story just as a sexual temptation. And yes, that's what it is, but it is a lot more than that. You know what it was? It was an attempt to fill a void in the flesh of Joseph. Think about it. Joseph is feeling the struggles of rejection, and the enemy took advantage of that by using Potiphar's wife. She could have been the fulfillment of a rejected soul. See, the enemy will appeal to the soul void that is left by rejection in our lives. That's what he does. Rejection leaves a longing in us. Maybe you were rejected for the promotion, and then the enemy whispers in your ear, well, why don't you just cut corners and be dishonest like everyone else does? Why don't you just do things the way everyone else does, do it dishonestly, and do it that way? Maybe you're rejected by one group of friends, and the enemy says, you know what? If you would just compromise your standards a little bit, then they will accept you. He appeals to the void that is left in our life. See, rejection, it creates this longing inside of us. It leaves a void in our life. So what do we do? What do we do when we're presented with this false fulfillment? We run, Joseph, run. We run away from what is the opposite of the truth of God, and we run towards what God says is truth in his word. So Joseph once again is rejected, this time by Potiphar. This time, listen, by doing what was right. See, sometimes rejection comes as a result of doing the right thing. And that doesn't feel good. I did what was right. I followed the steps. I followed the rules. And now rejection comes. How do I know what the right thing is? Well, we find it in God's word. The truth of God's word. So if you read on in the story in chapters 40 and chapter 41, Joseph is placed in prison for doing the right thing. And there's two other men that are placed in prison with him. The chief baker and the chief cupbearer. In other words, the cupbearer was the guy that would take the wine that was about to be drank by Pharaoh. He would try it out, make sure it didn't have poison in it. And they're like, okay, that guy didn't die. It's good for me to drink it. That's a great job, right? I'll volunteer to be the one that drinks the wine and possibly die. And both of these guys are thrown into prison. And both of them, while in prison, they have some dreams, and they don't know what they mean. And so who do they run to? They run to Joseph. Joseph, who's in prison for being rejected for doing what was right. And Joseph interprets those dreams for him, or for these two guys. And he asks them, he says, guys, I only ask one thing of you, is that when you go back in Pharaoh's court, you remember me, right? Just remember what I did for you. And the Bible tells us that 2 years pass by. 2 years. Follow this. The guy is rejected by his brothers at 17 years old. He's in the house of Potiphar, doing everything right. He's rejected by Potiphar because he wouldn't sleep with Potiphar's wife. And then he's put in prison, does what is right, still serves these men by interpreting their dreams. And then for 2 more years, he sits in prison. What a story. What a life. It would have been easy at this point in Joseph's life to be bitter and not to serve the cupbearer and the baker. It would have been very, very easy. Why? If left unattended, the garden of our heart will produce weeds of bitterness from seeds of rejection. See, the seeds of rejection are going to be sown in your life. Maybe even this past week or this past year. Seeds of rejection are going to be sown in your life. It is going to come. And if we do not attend to those and respond appropriately, then bitterness will grow in our heart. My family was rejected by this person and that person, and therefore, because of their color of skin, I now am bitter towards them. South Africa. They rejected me, and so therefore I am bitter towards them. And those weeds begin to grow in our heart, and we don't attend to those things, and we don't forgive, and we don't love the way Jesus asks us to. We can't allow weeds of bitterness, guys, to grow out of rejection. We just can't allow. At every point in his life, Joseph used his gifts and he remained available to be used by God. When we respond to rejection appropriately, it means this. It means we remain available to be used by God. Don't allow yourself to grow bitter from rejection, please. Be like Joseph, who said, God, I will still use my gifts for your glory. I encourage you this week to go home and read this full story in Genesis 37 through Genesis chapter 50. After those 2 years, Pharaoh has a dream. The main man, right? Basically the president of Egypt. He has a dream and no one can interpret it. No one knows what it means. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer, he remembers, oh yeah, there's that guy down there in prison. I told him, you know, it's kind of like my kids. When I ask them to remember to clean the room, oh yeah, I totally forgot, Dad. How'd you forget? That's probably Joseph down in prison for that 2 years. How did you forget? Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph is remembered. Joseph goes to Pharaoh, and he interprets his dream. In Genesis chapter 41, when you read it, it tells us how Joseph was promoted to the second most powerful seat in all of Egypt. At 17 years old, he's sold into slavery. And when he is 30 years old, a span of 13 years of rejection, okay? When he's 30 years old, he's promoted to the second most powerful seat, really, in all of the world, because Egypt was the powerhouse of the world in that day. Why? Because he responded to rejection appropriately. He did. He responded to rejection appropriately. Joseph teaches us a lot of stuff. He teaches us that rejection doesn't define us, but it's our response to rejection that does. He teaches us that God will always be with us. that the Holy Spirit will help us respond appropriately when it comes to rejection. Can I please warn you? Joseph teaches us something very, very important. We have to be aware of the enemy's tactic to appeal to the soul void that is left in us when we experience rejection. Just run, Forrest, run. Run, Joseph, run. When that appeal happens, whatever it looks like, run. Run to the truth of God's word. Joseph teaches us that we have to recognize that the presence of rejection doesn't mean we've done something wrong. Can I tell you something? Maybe your mom or your dad have rejected you at some point in your life. It's not something you did wrong. It's their choice. But just like we sang about this morning, and I love the other song that says that God is so good. You know what that means? Psalm says, Lord, it says, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Your faithfulness to every single generation. He's a good father. In prayer this morning, Cindy read Psalm 27 that said, even if my mother or my father abandons me, God never abandons me, but he holds me close. Whew. Run to him today. Don't allow rejection to write false truths on your heart. Don't allow bitterness to grow inside of you because you say, you know what, man, I'm going to be bitter towards that person because they have more than me. Or I'm going to be bitter towards that person because they look like them or they did this to me. I'm going to be bitter towards this group of people because of this. Don't allow bitterness to grow. Joseph was rewarded for his perseverance. See, our response to rejection brings reward. And not just a temporary reward in this life, but it brings an eternal reward. See, there's a part of you, your soul, what makes you, you, right? There's a part of you, your soul, that's going to live forever. It's going to. It's how God created you. And eternity is what matters. Did you know that Jesus Christ experienced rejection so that we could live with him forever? Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected. The Son of God, the one who was there when all of it was created, the one who stood on the darkness and the void and said, I want there to be trees, and it happened. The one who formed you out of the dirt, the Bible says, and then breathed life into your nostrils. It says he was despised and rejected. There's no other God in this world that people think that they worship that's real, that stepped out of their realm into our realm to be rejected. Only Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. Not his own, for my rebellion. He was crushed for my sin. He was beaten so that I could be whole. He was whipped so that I could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. See, here's the thing, guys. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was despised and he was rejected, not for his own sake, It was for me. The boy who grew up in church, knowing what was right, but turning my back on him time again and saying, I want nothing to do with that life. I'm going to do my own thing. He was rejected for that. He was rejected for you. Jesus experienced rejection simply because he wants all of your life. We make salvation really hard a lot of times. You know, you got to believe this, say this, do this. Yes, you have to believe Jesus is the Son of God and commit your life to him. Believe that he died for your sins and he rose from the grave 3 days later. But you know what, really? Jesus wants all of your life. That's what he wants. He says, I want every part of you. I want all of you.
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. If you live in the Durban area, we would love to connect with you. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m.